Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another amazing episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. I know I've been silent for so long, and I'm sorry for that, but hey, gotta do what I gotta do, and I mainly do these podcasts for fun anymore, right? Right. Okay, so let me tell you guys about something that's a very common practice in companies, from video game companies to movie companies to so on and so forth. And that kind of idea is going on the bandwagon of something that was a success. So back in the day, there were some successes in the form of mascots and platformers. Like, for example, we had Sega with Sonic and Nintendo with Mario. So some companies try to innovate their own unique mascot and try to dictate of how this game was better than the other one. I remember specifically, like, I played this one game demo at my aunt and uncle's house a while ago, where it followed the adventures of this one crocodile character. Like, everything was adorable and cute. Even the scary moments were cute. How could you do that, right? I can't remember what the game was specifically, but what I remember, the main villain was this giant living avocado, I think he was. I can't remember, but I know what I'm talking about. But not only that, there was also, like, other characters. Like, there was Bubsy, or that I saw from, like, the Oni Plays guys. There was also, like, a Wild Woody, I think his name was, again, from Oni Plays. And not only that, there was also, like, a, like there was Digimon based off of the success of Pokemon. And not only that, for, like, hero shooters with Overwatch, there was Battleborn, there was Paladins, there was others, and so, and continue on with there. However, one common trend that a lot of companies tried to go on was with card games. And from the success of either Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh!, or even Pokemon. And card games are still trying to be made today and try to have their own unique spin off of it, where they're not trying to cash in on the success of Yu-Gi-Oh!, Magic the Gathering, or Pokemon. They might have been, like, on their own ideas and their own terms, and they could also, like, try to make something that's completely different from them, and they're still being made today. Still. Well, obviously. But, like, for example, there's the Digimon card game. There's a card game that was recently released called Gate Rulers, which seems really interesting, and I do have two of the starter decks, too. There's also, Blood and Glory, I think it was called. But right now, I am talking about a certain card game that I managed to find a specific deck building box that my cousin got for me a while ago. And I actually managed to build two decks from it. Three, because I also was lucky enough to find some sellers off of eBay that sold some of these specific types of cards. And ladies and gentlemen, the card game that I'm talking about is arguably one of the most underappreciated card games, Duel Masters. So, interestingly enough, Duel Masters started off as a manga series back in Japan, where Wizards of the Coast tried to cash in on it by trying to get more people to play Magic the Gathering in Japan, right? So, originally, the character of the main original series of Duel Masters, known as Shobu, was pretty much the cover art character for the Magic the Gathering series manga art in Japan, okay? So basically, with the success of Yu-Gi-Oh! Back in the day, Wizards of the Coast, that made both Duel Masters and Magic the Gathering, try to cash in on success of that. So they used the face of the manga series that they were using in Japan and implemented into Duel Masters. So what is Duel Masters? Duel Masters is basically a very simplified version of Magic the Gathering, where it is adopted a lot of the ideas of how to play the game from it. So there are five, much like Magic the Gathering, there are five different civilizations. There's darkness civilization, there's a water civilization, there's a fire civilization, there's a nature civilization, and then there's a light civilization, replacing the white civilization in Magic the Gathering. The rest, they did all adopt that idea. And not only that, they also adopted the mana idea, where instead of having land, you can use any creature, any spell you have in your hand as a resource. And at the bottom of the card, there's like a little upside down one with a circle around it. And you can basically put the card upside down and into your mana zone. And that card is used as a resource. And let me be honest, this is just my own preference after testing some of the decks that I built. And I did actually used to play Magic the Gathering, believe it or not, back in high school with some friends of mine. And a card that allows me to use any card in my hand as a resource without being mana screwed or mana flooded, that's honestly a big perk. I'm just going to be blunt about that. But some people are going to have their own ideas and opinions about what is good and what is not in Magic the Gathering or other card games that have a mana system. But I digress. And not only that, in the card game, you also had 5 shields. And I mentioned this previously back in my Nerd Talks About Bakugan episode. Go check that out if you want. And the purpose of it is like, it's your pretty much your lifeline. And if a shield is destroyed, you add it into your hand. And that's kind of the interesting thing about it, is because it pretty much is like a double-sided sword. And like, yes, you're destroying one of your opponent's shields, but that shield could be something that could turn the whole match around and could be helpful for them in the long run. Like, it could be also a shield trigger where it has like this little thunderbolt symbol on it, and it reads, when this spell is put into your hand from your shield zone, you may cast it immediately for no cost. And this is off of a Dark Reversal that I have in my hand right now. But not only that, there are other different types of combos and gameplay wise you could do, and to like make it and not only that, there are other cards that have like a little circle, a little light blue circle on their card text that I have right now in my hand as well, named Bloody Skeeto, which is a 2-cost 4,000 power blocker creature. Now, what a blocker creature is, that it's able to like block certain attacks from your opponent. Like, if they're trying to attack your shields, if they're trying to attack like a monster of importance, you could basically like tap it and block it. And not only that, besides just blockers, they also innovated another type of creature known as evolution creatures. So basically, evolution creatures, they have these little star-like symbols to them, and they require another creature of a specific race. So right now in my hand, I have a creature known as Chaos Worm. He's a 5-cost evolution creature. He's a parasite worm, and he requires another parasite worm to be put on top of. And the interesting thing about evolution creatures, where if you would summon a normal creature, they would have summoning sickness, meaning that they can't be able to attack. However, if you evolve that creature, they won't suffer from summoning sickness. Now, let me talk about one of the most crazy things that the card game also had to offer, which was the anime. Because, like I said previously, that Duel Masters was trying to cash off of Yu-Gi-Oh!, right? And I managed to find the anime off of an interesting streaming service called Tubi. I watched Season 1, and to be honest, I don't know what I liked about it as a kid besides the animated monster scenes. And I honestly think that's where most of the budget went. Like, no joke, I don't know why, but I must have been on some kind of drug. I must have been on crack, alcohol-induced, I don't know. But I don't know how I liked it as a kid, but I liked it, and I watch Season 1, and I'm pretty much regretting my decision of liking it as a kid. And I don't know why what I liked about it, and that's the more crazy thing about it. Like, what is there to talk about the anime? Like, there's bad writing and dialogue between characters. There's, like, animation errors. And not only that, there's also, like, oh my gosh, one-liners, fourth wall breaks, and references galore. It is like, oh my gosh, like almost every single episode. I feel as if they're just going to talk about the animators, the animation, the writing. It's like, holy crap. And not only that, like, what they try to do to make themselves slightly different from Yu-Gi-Oh! Was have 3D monsters. Now, some creatures like Bloody Skeeto, Bullshock Dragon, Bronze Army Tribe, they all had their own. Rothus the Traveler, he was a good card, had their own unique animations, and I think, like, their own 3D animations, and I think that's where most of the budget went into, because, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Had, like, their own monsters, right? Their own 2D monsters, and the people behind the Duel Masters anime for America, they were, like, thinking to themselves, what could we do to make it different? I got it. How about we implement 3D monsters? I think that's where most of the budget went. I honestly don't know what's more expensive, 2D or 3D. But that's probably a big debate over a lot of people, but I honestly don't know. I think they're both expensive. But I think for Duel Masters, for in Cartoon Network, that's where most of the budget went. Because, like, they reused different assets from the from the scene. Like, there was, like, this one scene where, like, Shobu was, like, facing this guy who primarily used a mono darkness deck, and they were like just like setting up their shields, like, I think, like, literally three times. And I'm like thinking to myself, why did they air this scene? And not only that, there was, like, another scene where, like, Shobu beat this other guy and he went into a flashback, and, like, the kids in the flashback were literally like, stay here with us, and the guy that lost was like, I really do like staying in flashbacks. oh my god, it is so bad. And not only that, like, another episode where, like, another main character, she has, like, a brother, and, like, it was like a cutscene, like, it was like next, like, last time on Duel Masters, or, like, previously on Duel Masters, and, like, Shobu was, like, talking about it, and then, like, don't ask me how my friend here and this guy are related as brother and sister. The Star Wars series taught me that. And another thing was, on, like, the final episodes of Season 1, Shobu was talking to his friend's dad at one point, and they were, like, doing, like, a cutscene where, like, they were doing a flashback, not like the flashback where they're like, oh, stay here with us. No, they were, like, doing a flashback where, like, it had a ripple effect, and the dad was like, wait, what the hell was that? And Shelby was like, we're doing a flashback, that's what the ripple effect is. And then, like, when they went back into that flashback, he went, wait, where's that ripple effect? We're doing time cost, okay? And I'm like, oh my god. And then I realized that was just Season 1. There was 2 seasons of this, and I'm, like, thinking to myself, oh my god. Like, they replaced Shobu's voice actor, but one of the characters, his best friend, acknowledges that his dad and him have the same voice actor. I'm, like, thinking to myself, oh my gosh. It is just, you could obviously know that it's obviously bad, but they did, I think, slightly update the animation for, like, the 3D monsters. I'm not sure myself, but holy shitskies, it is really bad. I haven't read or seen a bad anime in my life, but, like, holy smokes, Duel Masters does take the cake so far up to my knowledge of seeing and watching bad anime. Oh, but sadly, the card game didn't last. It sadly lasted from 2004 to 2006. Reasons? Well, there are a couple of reasons why. Well, 2 that I'm aware of. The first reason was because of, like, lack of card sales, right? Because, like, most people were, like, looking at Duel Masters and saying to themselves, yeah, this is just a ripoff of Yu-Gi-Oh! Or, like, this is just basically Magic Gathering. Or some people would say, this is just basically, or yeah, that basically it was just Magic the Gathering, right? But however, there was this other people said that because of it, I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Some other people say that the card game only, some of the duels lasted only from only six turns, where there is this one card known as Bumbazar Dragon. Are you ready for this, folks? This is Bumbazar Dragon's effect. Okay, so it says Bumbazar Dragon of Destiny. When you put this creature into the battle zone, you destroy all other creatures that have 6,000 power. Then take an extra turn after this one. You lose the game at the end of that turn. He has the speed attacker, meaning he's not affected by summoning sickness. And he has double attack. I mean, double break. Meaning, since they have like 5 shields, you could break 2 extra ones. Whereas a lot of creatures break only 1, and others also break 3. So that's extremely dangerous. But like, that extra turn, you think to yourself, like, oh, I could survive this if you have shield triggers or blockers, but then you realize you don't have an extra turn, because this card gives other players an extra turn. That's how powerful it is. And not only that, there's another card that basically, since he's an armored dragon, there's like another card in the game that basically helps you summon armored dragons a lot quicker by reducing their cost from by 2, but they cannot cost 0. But there's that. So sadly, Duel Masters was no more. However, one day back in 2012, there was a bit of a revive that Wizards of the Coast did, where they basically called it Kaijudo, Rise of the Duel Masters. So that name was basically obvious of where it wanted to go, right? Right. Not only that, I also liked that as a kid, but I don't remember why I liked it as a kid. Probably just because it was Duel Masters. And I thought to myself, like, holy smokes, they're bringing back Duel Masters. And I was so excited for it. And one thing that I do remember about it was I got the first structure deck, and I sadly had no one else to play with it. I was the only one that collected the damn cards. But, like, looking back at it, I kind of questioned some of the tactics that they did. Whereas, like, they only released a new card for the entire game after, like, 2 years, known as Evolution Creatures. So, that's basically nothing new. Whereas, like, in Duel Masters, we had Blocker. They also, like, kept the Blockers and Shield Triggers, right? But, like, for the one Evolution Creature, that's basically something nothing new for Duel Masters, whereas, like, they had evolution creatures, they had creatures known as survivors, which basically allowed you to gain more abilities times the number of survivors you have on the field of what ability they had. Like, they could have, like, destroy your opponent's creature if this creature was destroyed ability, they had a power increase ability, they had a mana charge ability if another survivor was destroyed, they also had a blocker ability, and so on and so forth for their, right? They also had, like, creatures that could tap themselves. I'm pretty sure Magic the Gathering does this too, where if you tap them, they have a special ability, but that you can use for that turn by sacrificing their ability to attack for that turn. And then they also had like Wave Strikers, which are slightly worse versions of Frickin' Dickin' Survivors. But I digress. And honestly, I felt as if Kaijudo, looking at it now, was honestly a big step down, because like I said, of what the cards we had back then in originally in Duel Masters, you honestly had multiple different choices of how you want to build the deck and how you want to revolve around, right? And not only that, for some reason, they gave a lot of the other creatures different like card nicknames for their abilities. Like, I believe I have it right now. I think for Bronze Army Tribe, they gave his ability a nickname known as Harvest, and where he basically has the same ability as back in the first game, where when he enters the field, you could put the top card of your deck into your mana zone. So there's that. But like, for some odd reason that I do not know for myself, one sec, I'm just going to take a drink of water. Sorry about that. Got a little bit prepared for that for this moment, but what I mean is, for some reason, they kept some of the monsters' names in Duel Masters, because they basically, what they did was, they brought over all the same artwork from all the cards that they printed back then from 2004 to 2006 into this card game. So it basically, what they basically done was they took an old thing and put a new batch of paint on it. But for some reason, they changed a lot of the card names. They kept some of them, granted, but they changed a lot of their names, and either that or they changed some of their abilities. Like, I remember I bought the Darkness and Water structure deck because I can argue that Darkness and Water is a really good combination to me personally. But besides that, I remember specifically that there is a creature known as Aqua Guard, which is a mana 1 cost, 2000 power water creature that has the blocker ability and cannot attack. But for some reason, they named him Aqua Soldier now. And he's now a 2 mana cost, 1000 power vanilla beat stick. And ironically, they also did this to a creature called Horrid Worm, or Squirming Worm, I can't remember what its name was. That was a 2 cost, I think, no, I actually do have the card right here. Sorry about this, folks. Could have been a little bit more prepared than I thought. Here he is. A 3 mana cost, 2000 power creature of when he battles, your opponent has to discard a random card. Got rid of that ability. He's now a 2 cost, 2000 power mana beat stick. He's basically a vanilla creature. The reason why they did this is honestly beyond me. But they kept the exact same rules as before, where it's like, you place the top 5 of your cards from your deck face down. Those are your shields. You could put one card from your hand face upside down to represent its a resource. They had blockers. They had shield triggers. Blah, blah, blah. Basically the exact same thing. They didn't update any of the artwork. They didn't try to make it a little bit more like eye-catching or anything. They basically kept everything from the original of the card game and just said it's almost say that's completely different, right? But they did release its own cartoon a while ago too, called that was and still is Kaijudo Rise of the Duel Masters. And as for that, they did try to, the story was subpar at best, where they did have their own creatures, but most of them were basically just like rehashes of older creatures from back in the card game. And basically it follows this group of friends discovering the Kaijudo, or like this den of where these masters from fire to darkness civilizations, all 5 of them were chosen to protect the creature realms from evil. And this evil was from the Chotin, which basically saw the creatures as more of actual tools rather than actual living creatures. And in the series, we're actually introduced to a lot of the creatures have their own mindsets, that they have their own thoughts, feelings, and emotions as much as anyone, anywhere. And eventually, the creatures actually go at war with one another. And that idea was actually from the original Duel Masters Season 2. But not only that, the cartoon was subpar at best, where eventually it ended from 2012 to 2014, ending on a cliffhanger. But I really honestly do feel as if Kaijudo Rise of the Duel Masters was an extremely big step backwards for Duel Masters, where, like I said, they basically try to put something old and put a new coat of paint over it and try to make it different. Whereas I feel it was like a big letdown, whereas, like I said, there were other different creatures that you can use and different strategies you can play in the original Duel Masters, but they also didn't update the card works. They basically used all the cards from all the old sets that they had and just basically slapped it onto new card borders and saying done. And not only that, there are rare cards that actually were different. Like, there was a there's a card that I have called Scaredorable of Grumman Hollow, where it's like this withered beast-like creature. That's unique. There was also like Tetsurin the Unchained. There was also like another creature called Razor Kinder Puppet, which was also really unique looking. But most of the creatures were from the original. However, even though that Duel Masters is not that big popular in America, where I did find like a couple of channels on YouTube, primarily one called The Gauntlet that got me back, that actually got me reinterested in Duel Masters again, believe it or not. I'm losing my train of thoughts. I'm sorry, folks. Where, believe it or not, in Duel Masters, in Japan that is, believe it or not, it is one of the most second biggest card games in Japan. Against Yu-Gi-Oh! It's rivaling Yu-Gi-Oh! And one sec, I'll tell you more about it after the break. Okay, as we return back from those ads, we also gotta talk about the Japanese state of Duel Masters. So, back in the day after America's Duel Masters kicked the bucket, Duel Masters in Japan grew exponentially, where I said in the last part of the podcast episode, where it rivals Yu-Gi-Oh! Let me say that again, where people said that this card game was simplified version of Magic the Gathering is rivaling Yu-Gi-Oh! Arguably one of the biggest card games as of today in Japan. And that's crazy to think about and say it too. So where the story left off, it continued on, I believe, after season 2, where there was like a war between the civilizations without the bad writing in Duel Masters, and they kept adding more and more and more to it, where everything to the card game was completely different. Like, they added like these types of card games called cards that were like basic. I want to say, at first I saw this a while ago when I was a kid, and I thought they were new creatures that you can equip to other creatures, but no, these were like equip cards. These were like legit equip cards for different creatures, right? And that is so crazy, because I think in their way, they made it to a point where it's like, instead of like Yu-Gi-Oh's equip cards, where it's like you equip it to a monster, and if that card is destroyed with the monster, they're both destroyed, or the equip card is destroyable. And instead, they made it like a long-lasting thing that it could last on the field as long as you have a creature that I think costs more or less towards it, and that's completely cool. And not only that, they also changed evolution creatures, where now you require where instead of having one little star, there's like 2 to 3 that I know of at best, where it's like they show off them to like different structure decks and different ways to play, to a point where you require either 2 creatures of different attributes or 2 creatures or more of the same attribute and civilization to remotely use. And I feel as if this does make it a little bit more different, but yet a little bit more, what's the best way to describe it? I really want to say a little bit more, not iffy, but situational at best. Because to be fair, let me explain why I say that. Is because you're not just needing to have specific creatures, but you also need to have multiple of them compared to like the one creature you would need. Like Chaos Worm, for a good example. And not only that, they continued on to like other creatures where some of them were like gods. And not only that, but from after that, where the original character Shobu was basically like, I want to say retired, they basically replaced him with another character that I think was Shobu's younger brother, I believe. And basically, it was known as Duel Masters Victory, and that was the box set that my cousin got me when I was a while ago, when I was still a kid. I think back in somewhere between 2011 to 2012. And it was known as a set known as DMB02 Hunter Edition. And so basically it gave us like these different types of cards that you could use. And I remember my cousin gave me an old starter deck back in 2011 that was known as DMD202 Darkness and Water. And it basically like was like a basic Darkness and Water themed deck too. And I made two different decks from those, and one of them was like a Armor Dragon green and red deck where I could basically try to get an Armor Dragon out as best I can, as fast as I can. And there was another one that I called the Blocker Aggro deck, which basically there's this one evolution creature that makes the effects of creatures that cannot attack the player obsolete. So basically it's like a sword and shield kind of build to it, and that is really unique. And not only that, there's these types of creatures and spells known as like hyperloop or like hypersonic creatures, where like some of them can be able to fuse to another creature. And not only that, there's like other ones that are like able to have an ability known as awaken, where it's like one of them I have in that deck as we speak has the awaken. If you summon a 4-cost or more blocker creature, you could awaken it, and it has a far better ability than its original counterpart. And not only that, I remember seeing this one video on YouTube where they actually show gameplay. I'm like thinking to myself like, oh yeah, this is basically simple. And then my jaw dropped when this one guy evolved one of his creatures 4 times without any mana. I'm like thinking to myself, how did he do that? And it goes to show of how much this card evolved over the years, and it's still going. And there's the company behind it, known as Takara Tomy, is still going with it. And the latest set that they released was back in June of this year. It's still going really strong too. And not only that, I feel as if they're keep making more disgusting cards and evolving each of the civilizations in different ways. Like for example, with the Darkness Civilization, there's these cards that have an ability known as Moonless Gate. And basically there's these creatures known as magic tools that have like this little seance looking circle right behind them. And if they're in your hand or in your feet in your graveyard, if you have like 4 of those magic tools on your field, what you could basically do is you could basically summon that one creature that has the Moonless Gate ability for free. But you have to put it on top of those 4 objects, like a seance. And I find that really unique. That's something that the Darkness Civilization would do. And not only that, there's also like another archetype called Beat Jockeys, where they basically are all about getting in there, hitting hard, getting back out, and destroying themselves. And that's basically the Red Fire Civilization back in the day, where it's all about the power and trying to strike first as best as you can and trying to win as fast as you can. That's basically the Fire Civilization in a nutshell. And not only that, one sec. For Nature Civilization, I have it, one of the most arguably broken creatures that I read in my entire life on my computer right now. For the nature creatures and the nature civilization in general, it's still like that mana building idea where, I don't think I explained it, but like each of the civilizations are pretty much like fire is like all about power and striking first and striking fast as best you can. Water is pretty much like a stun deck and like about spells and returning cards to your opponent's hand. Darkness is basically hand destruction, field destruction, and potentially deck destruction too. The Nature Civilization is about building more mana so you can be able to summon more bigger creatures later on in the matches. And as for Light, it's about stunning your opponent and hitting and destroying their creatures more and like stun. Well, no, I'm wrong. It's mostly about stunning your opponent and making sure their creatures are unable to attack. But for the Nature Civilization, they increase that idea that any card in your hand from your field or your graveyard could be a resource if you use a spell that they also introduced known as a Twin Pact card. And what those are is they're basically almost, imagine Yu-Gi-Oh's pendulum creatures, but there's like a slash separating a spell to a creature. Cool thing about that, or the more interesting idea about that, is like you could either cast one which is like the spell or summon the creature, but you can't do both. Whereas like Yu-Gi-Oh's pendulum creature monsters are pretty much acting like spell cards, like continuous spell cards, but they don't act as monsters where they stay on the field. These creatures, they once you use their spell ability, they're gone, right? And ironically, I would argue that the nature civilization is a pretty much a double-sided sword now, because you can also give your opponent resources, and I feel as if that will bite you in the ass. But like, this creature takes the cake for broken card. Now, his name is Kingdom Okabatu. I think I butchered that name more than ever. He's a 9-cost Grand Sect creature from the nature civilization with 14k power. And get this, he has an ability known as Match Fighter, which means that you could, when he's summoned, he could be able to tap or untapped creatures when he is summoned. This is the most broken ability I ever read. So ready. Whenever this creature wins a battle, break 9 of your opponent's shields. Now, the most that a player could get is 5 shields. The fact that this guy is able to break 9 is even disgusting. And, like, I think probably, maybe, like, Light Civilization decks could stand a chance, because they do, so a lot of them do have an ability where you could, like, rejuvenate your shields as best as you can through different abilities from either creatures or spell cards, but like, that is still a disgusting ability, I feel. And not only that, they also like updated once again evolution creatures known as Rex Stars, where instead, imagine like the Mario power-ups, for example, where instead of like having like one creature, having like Chaos Worm on top where it destroys both of them, it pretty much like, once you destroy that evolution creature that has the star ability, it pretty much, that creature by itself is gone, but the creature that it once evolved from stays on the field. So it pretty much is like a Mario ability, you could say. And that is so great. That is so unique. And it's like, this card game could have been what it was like there, here. But unfortunately, it really didn't go that well. And not only that, there's these other creatures that I'm really interested in called the Dispector creatures from this one starter deck. And I find them to be like the most cool but yet horrifying thing at all. Whereas like some of the creatures from like the old original sets, like literally like morphed, stitched together, literally zipped together too. And there's like Death Liger and like the Light Elemental creature together. It's not even obvious of where it is. It's basically, Death Liger is basically like a flipping like zombie lion, right? He has like the elemental through his head, and that is both, that is mainly messed up in all different ways. This is a children's card game too, and I'm talking about a children's card game where there's a card called Terror Pit, and it has a bronze army tribe monster creature like scraping the floor for his life, where he's being dragged into the abyss by hands. So, kid-friendly is kind of out there sometimes, right? But let me just get... I probably talked too much about the card game already, so let me get into my final thoughts of how I really feel about it. So, would I say that Duel Masters is still a simplified card game? I'm not gonna say that it... I'm not gonna lie and say that it wasn't, because a lot of the critics back in the day were true and were right, where Duel Masters was pretty much a, and is a simplified card game. And it pretty much was a card game that had a lot of issues than we may think. Like, there was no ban list. There were a lot of key creatures that had broken abilities. And like I said, with Bombazar Dragon and with the other guy I just brought up too. But not only that, and that was like another problem, and whereas like, they tried so much with trying to compete with Yu-Gi-Oh! By spending so much money on either car, on video games, toys, little-ass figurines, and not, along with the card game, that it pretty much like was, a lot of people saw it as a ripoff of Yu-Gi-Oh! Where it really didn't have its own idea of standing out as much, besides being a plain and simplified copy of Magic the Gathering. However, I feel as if we could have gave the card game a second chance and have what Japan has with the card game now, it is so much different. It's so much more interesting. It's so much unique. And it actually stands out more. And I forgot to say this too, that they also have like their own field spells too. They have like their own combos. They have not just their own combos, but like kingdoms. What I mean that is like they have like different cards from like there's like these weird symbols on the top right corner that are like have their own kingdoms. They have their own unique abilities for those kingdoms, and like it just makes the card game so much unique than it already needs to be now. And I feel as if what Japan did successfully with the card game is that they still worked with the simplification, but not just with the simplification of what the card game has to offer, but they evolved it. They made it better. They worked with it to a point where, yes, it's still, like I pretty much keep saying, it's a simplified card game, but they worked with it to a point where that card game could still be more complex than we may think. And this has been the Duel Masters episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. I am sorry if I haven't been posting more episodes recently. School is just literally right around the corner for me, and I kind of want to relax before I've been hit with a freight train of work, work, work. But not only that, besides just all that work, I really do want to talk about one idea that I had in the back of my head for a while, which is like basically the philosophy and theology behind science fiction. Because now, since I took a science fiction and theologian class last semester, I actually really want to talk about this idea because it makes you think, it makes you actually wonder your own ideas of how you see the world and how you would perceive it if it was in the future. And there is that, and there are things that I'm having trouble trying to figure out for other episodes, but like I said, I'm doing these episodes for fun. So if you want, you could follow me on Twitter at SuperNerd. Sorry, a little bit of burp there. I really should not be doing these episodes if I eat something. At SuperNerd163 on Twitter. You could follow me on Instagram as well. And remember, folks, geek is fleek.